for coming out to the Country Doctor Museum. Answer a couple questions.
Okay.
Can we ask your name and age?
Okay, my name is Randolph Sessions, and I am 78 years old.
Yes, sir. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in Wilson County, and in the Sims area. Grew up there, and I have lived in this general area all my life.
Yes, sir. Do you remember a family doctor who cared for you in your youth or later years that you liked or appreciated?
Yes. His name was Dr. Robert Richards.
Is that the same one?
The same one.
Bob Richards.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any specific character traits about Mr. Richards?
Yes. Dr. Richards was very personal. He knew the families. We in the rural areas, and he kept up with what was going on with everyone that came in his office and all the people of your family. He really knew you kind of on a personal level, and he was very very thorough, first of all, and so that's probably what stands out most in my mind.
So, how did having a personal relationship with your doctor make treatments like easier to visit?
Well, one, you kind of knew that he knew you and knew about you, kind of knew your history, and not only did he know your history, he knew the history of the family as he, kind of treated everybody in the household. My mom and dad, and we didn't go to see doctors very, very often, when I came along. I mean, usually a little something happened. Your mom and dad, they had their own remedies and so forth, and you didn't come in with a lot of the things that we come in now for. But when you did, he pretty well knew, your history.
What were some of the home remedies you got to experience?
Used to when we were coming along, if you cut your finger, for an example, sometimes serious enough now to obviously go to the doctor to get stitches and this kind of thing. They had different medications that they would put on it, and sometimes I can remember my parents actually using kerosene oil to pour on a wound, and I don't know.
That work?
I really can't tell you. I really can't tell you if it worked or not. I guess it did, because mm-hmm. a lot of times that was the only treatment that you got. It had to be getting pretty bad for them actually to take you to the doctor. They would put that on it and get some white cloth and wrap it in some tape and wrap it up themselves and that kind of thing. And of course, eventually it would heal. And I guess we were fortunate sometimes that we didn't get some serious problems, by having inadequate medical treatment. But, that's what we had.
Is there anything you remember from the oils you used?
Anything I remember from what?
From using kerosene oil.
No, there's nothing specific that I remember. I just remember that it being, one of the things that they would use. And then sometimes I know that at one time, if you got a wasp or a bee sting, they would use tobacco products. If there was snuff in the house, they would wet the snuff and put the snuff on the sting. And if not, they would get tobacco and get tobacco juice and put on the sting. Whether that worked or not, I don't know. But that's why they put on it anyway. Things like that.
Did you feel more comfortable getting treated at home rather than going to the doctor?
I can't say that I did. Even early on, I really wasn't afraid of the doctor, and so if I went there, I felt like I was going to get good care. So I can't say that I felt more comfortable even as a youngster.
What would it have to take for you to go to the doctor instead of just staying at home?
Usually, it would have to be, okay, now, as for a wound, for mm-hmm. example, it would have to be a real serious deep mm-hmm. cut, something that, you know, that they could kind of see closing on their own. And usually if someone, probably passed out or something like that, and they were, kind of get uptight about and would go take it to the doctor. And not only that, the doctor then, and then Dr. Richards, would get a visit your house. You know, if it was something very, very serious, we did have a telephone. A lot of people didn't have telephones when I was a kid, and we had one early on, we would call, and he would fly up there on that little Volkswagen. We'd go to Volkswagen, and we lived down the path, and I can remember, in fact, when my dad died, it was on a Friday night about 10 o'clock, and I was senior in high school. And just before graduation, a week or so before graduation, he had a heart attack, and I was just coming home. Mom called me, and I ran in. Said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Something's wrong with your dad." And I knew that he was seriously ill, because I called him Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And so I got on the telephone and called Dr. Richards at home. And he lived right there by Rock Ridge School, not far from Rock Ridge School. And I mean, it didn't seem like 10 minutes before he was flying down the path on that car, and he just jumped out the car. And of course, the door was open. He ran right in the house and jumped right in the bed with my dad's shoes on and everything. Because we didn't know anything about heart compressions and stuff like that. Back then we didn't, but obviously he did, so that's what he did. But anyway, that was something that really stood out in my mind.
So we've heard that Dr. Richards was like a doctor for basically anything instead of several different specialists.
Right.
How did that make you feel, being able to see a doctor that can do whatever you need him to do?
Well, I guess I felt comfortable, with it, at the time, because that's basically all we knew. We didn't, there really weren't that many, perhaps, specialists around at that time, and that was basically all we knew, and we felt very confident in, what he did, his treatment. So I felt good about it. And as I grew up and went to school and came back home to live and work for a long, until he retired. He was my physician. He was still my doctor until he retired. But he was very thorough, and that's what I remember about him most.
So you talked about some of the treatments you got from your house. Mm-hmm. Was there much of a difference from being treated at your house versus in the office? Or was it relatively the same?
Well, obviously if he came home to the house, and obviously he did everything himself, obviously without the assistance of a nurse or anything like that. And I don't recall having, when he came, I don't recall going, immediately to the office for a follow-up or anything that required the nurse. So he was basically, taking care of, everything himself, when he came.
What kind of a role did nurses play during that?
Very similar to what many of them do now. I mean, they would do some preliminary work before, you went in to see him, temperature, blood pressure, that sort of thing. And when he saw you, if there was something that they needed to do, and addiction or something like that, you know, basically a lot of the same thing.
Did you get any shots at the doctor, like vaccines?
Oh, yeah, your school.
Last year I was here talking with some people about vaccines, and they were talking, I don't remember which vaccine it was, but for a lot of them it left like a mark on their arm. Did you get one of those?
Oh, yes, yes.
What was that? Was that, I don't remember which vaccine, was it smallpox?
Yes, yes, and it's probably, you might can still see it now because it left the skin a certain way, and you obviously had to have that before starting the school, and even back then.
Some kind of negative effect?
No, I can't think of anything that left an obvious, you know, sign or anything. Nothing that I can think of.
So can you walk us through kind of your experience of how the medical field has changed from your childhood to now?
Well, you know, as I said, going back from a family practitioner and that essentially was a generalist that basically, you know, did everything to all of the specialists that are out there now, and even now, I still have a general practitioner, but he assigns me to go see this specialist over here and this specialist over here and that kind of thing, and it all still comes back to him, and he keeps up with everything and, you know, and that kind of thing. So I still like having that general practitioner as a family doctor. But they all, I think, employ, you know, specialists that specialize in specific, you know, things, and which means that they probably are more adept at a particular area. You know, if you have a heart condition or anything, which obviously my daddy had and didn't know, he seemed just as healthy as anything you ever saw him, was strong. I mean, he's just a big, healthy man, 54 years old. We thought nothing was wrong with him, and, you know, he was daily. So, you know, you didn't have those specialists to where you were looking at getting treatments for those things and keeping up and knowing what was going on with your heart and all your systems. Like we do now, you know. I get cholesterol checks and I go see my doctor every 3 months, and you know, so that's just how it's changed. It's more preventative now than it is, you know, treatment after the fact.
So what type of attributes do you look for in your healthcare team? Right, personal characteristics or something.
Well, you know, I still want people who have that personal touch and who know me and who have time to talk to me and explain to me. I'm fairly knowledgeable myself, and so I usually have a good deal of questions and so forth, just based on my own experiences with the healthcare system. And I want someone who does have time to talk to me and will talk to me and explain what's going on and you know, not be just left in the dark. You know, a lot of people go to doctors and they don't have enough knowledge a lot of times to fully understand. And of course, none of us do, I guess, to a certain point, but I do have some background and want to have someone who keeps up with that and will help explain it to me if I need it and will listen to, you know, what I say. But funny, I'll give you an example. I went in just last week and do my 3 month checkup, and when the nurse checked my blood pressure, my pressure was up, and well, I say up, it was it was like 160, 160 over 90, and that's up. And so when the I got around to see the doctor, and he was looking at everything, and so he looked at it, and he talked about medications and so forth, and he said, well, you know, he said, you know, this is up 20 points. I said, yeah, I heard that. And I told him, I said, look, I said, you need to, I'll have her check my pressure again. And I said, because when I came in, as soon as I came in, I said, I could feel myself change. I could feel that my pressure was going up and had gone up. And I get that feeling. I said, I guess I'm just afraid that it's going to be up. And so therefore, I react internally in a manner that causes it to go up. And so we sat there and we talked a while. So then he said, okay, he said, I'll have her check it again. So I went out and sat for about 10 minutes and, you know, kind of leveled down. So she checked it again and it dropped to 21, 22 points. So I'm saying, you know, I had some input with what was going on, because one of the first things, and I was going to see a cardiologist as well, and so first thing that they were talking about was changing medications. And I said, wait a minute, before you do that, let's check it again. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So you prioritize having somebody that listens to you too.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Obviously that's important. And he listened, and then I went to see the cardiologist the same day, and shared with them what happened. And so they determined, they said, well, listen, said what you may have, white coat syndrome. Meaning that, you know what that means? That means when you get in the doctor's mm-hmm. office, your pressure goes up. And a lot of people do that. And I once had a machine, a cup, where I checked it at home all the time myself. And in my family, I tell you, my dad died with a heart attack. My family died early with heart attacks. And, you know, the hypertension ran in my family. I mean, one of the longest livers in my family, they died, brother 36 and 150, all from heart attacks. So I've always kept up with it. And my pressure, when I checked it at home, always ran 20 points or so lower than when it was in the doctor's office. And I would tell them that. So we thought that the machine was wrong. And so when I told them that, they said, well, listen, they said the machine was probably, and I ended up getting rid of it. I said, I don't need it if it's wrong, if I can't trust it and it gives me a false reading. And so then even the cardiologist that I was going to see, he said, well, it was probably right. He said, so what we need to check your pressure at home, you know, and regularly at home. And then we can compare it. And so even with all that, the specialist changed as well. And so I got a new, I will get a new one tomorrow, you know, just like that, because of what I said. And they didn't change medication. So they said, we are probably over-medicating you. So that's important.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So how's the advancement of technology made you feel either more comfortable or more secure in medical aspects?
As technology improves, then things can be done more efficiently, less pain, less intrusive. You know, I mean, you know, surgeries now, you know, I mean, they operate those. Since we're talking about hearts, you do heart surgery now, and they never have to enter your body again. Used to, they rip you wide open, split your chest wide open, lay you open to do all that. They don't have to do that anymore. And so anytime you can, you know, do that and have you out of there in 2 or 3 days when you used to stay up there a month. So, I mean, it's amazing what modern technology and the hospital stuff is, you know, it's done by the medical people.
Yes, sir. I believe that's all I got for you today. So thank you for stopping by.